I really thought that when I had my hot tea in Louisiana, that it would not only be tea that I would find hot, but I truly believe that the weather would be hot here as well. I'm kind of wondering what is up with that around here. I thought it was going to be hot and humid, and I was ready to sweat. And David called at the last minute and said, everything I told you to pack, change, you know, bring a jacket. But anyway, I am thrilled to be here with you today at your tea party. And what I would like for us to pretend for a few moments is that life itself is a giant tea party. And the invitations have been sent, and we're all invited. And we all come to this tea party of life with a cup to be filled. And I'd like for you to think of the teacups that you're using this afternoon. I'd like for you to think of them as the cups that you bring to be filled. And these teacups are going to represent the needs that we have. For we all do have needs. This tray right here, I have four cups on this tray, and each of these cups are going to represent a different member in my family. And this is kind of the tea party at my house, you can say. There's a cup here for my husband, one for my daughter, Casey, and one for my little boy, Parker, and this is my teacup. And what I have learned in the last 11 years of being a mother is that there is one person at this tea party in my house that spends a significant amount of her time going around filling up everybody else's cups. Now, who do you think that one person might be? That's Mommy, isn't it? It's Mommy who goes around filling up everybody else's cups. And what are some of the ways that we fill the cups in our house? Well, if you are a new mother, you know, and if you are a mother, if you're getting ready to be a mother for the first time, you're soon to find out that that infant baby of yours will need, at the very least, a minimal diaper change per day of 10 to 12 diapers. And what that means in a week's time is there will be 70 to 84 diapers alone that you'll change if you did nothing else as a mother. And most of you probably are like me. You will be changing the significant amount of those diapers yourselves, won't you? So that's one of the ways that we fill the cups in our home. There's also mouths to be fed. There are boo-boos to wipe away. There are tears to wipe. There are Band-Aids to put on. There's laundry to be done. A little bit later on, there will be discipline to take care of. There will be soccer games to drive to and ballet practice and dance recitals. And you can see how Mommy just spends all her time running around filling up everybody else's cups. Well, there's one significant problem with that. If Mommy is spending all her time filling up everybody else's cup, what happens to Mommy's cup? Empty. Sooner or later, Mommy's cup runs empty. And there are lots of signs of Mommy's cup running empty, aren't there? And I bet if I took a poll in a poll with each of the men in this world that live with a woman and asked them, what are some of the signs of a mommy whose cup is running full? They would readily come up with some feedback for me, don't you think so? Cranky. Mommy tends to get a little cranky when the cup is running empty. You start to hear those kind of sarcastic comebacks and those little, you know, the tone of the voice gets kind of hateful and short. This would not be personal experience, you understand. This is what I've been told from other mommies. So there are lots of signs that we see when Mommy's cup starts to run empty. And if Mommy's not real careful, Mommy can turn this great tea party into a giant pity party. And you know what a pity party is? A pity party is when you just sit down and you just talk to yourself about how awful you have it, about how much work you're doing, and nobody seems to appreciate it, and nobody cares. And do they not know how many pairs of underwear I fold every week? And Mommy just starts to whine a little bit to herself. And sooner or later, Mommy kind of starts to whine to everybody else. And if she's not real careful, she turns this big tea party of life into a very unhappy pity party for everybody else around her as well. And it becomes no fun. And I'm sure you're all familiar with the phrase, if Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And that's kind of the way it works. So obviously, it's very important that Mommy keeps her cup full. Obviously, that's very important. Or else everybody in the home feels it. Well, who are some of the people and where are some of the places that Mommy goes to get her cup to be filled? Well, sometimes I go to my husband, you know, and sometimes we mommies, we go to our husbands and we demand them to meet our needs and to fill up our cups. Sometimes we turn outside our families to a mother or a sister or a close friend, and other times we even expect for our children to meet our needs. Well, the problem with that is that you see everybody else in this tea party of life, they're all just a bunch of finite cups, precious though they may be. They all have bottoms. And they all only have so much to give. And God didn't design any of the people in our lives with what it takes to meet each and every one of our needs. And so if we are expecting them to meet all of the needs in our life and to keep our cup full, we're going to be sorely disappointed, aren't we? And not only are we going to be disappointed, but we're going to frustrate the socks off of them. Because they are going to end up feeling like they can never do enough to keep us happy. And it's very frustrating for them as well. So it's difficult for the people in our lives. And our cups don't get filled. Now these people can all help fill them up a little bit, but none of them can keep our cups filled, can they? Well, not only do we turn to other people, but we also turn to some places to have our cups filled. Now, Angie here, having spent just a little bit of time with her, I'm going to guess when her cups feel a little empty, she's going to look for the nearest flea market. And she's going to go try to find that rare and precious treasure. I've seen the really attractive heater she's hauling around in the back of her car. I have no idea what she's going to do with that thing, but she saw great promise in it. And each of you probably have a place that you go. Now, I usually go to the bathtub in my bathroom. And I fill it up with bubbles, I light a candle, I get a good romance novel, and a bag of peanut M&Ms. And I'm pretty good to go for a while. It's a simple fix, but it'll keep my cup full for just a minute. And if you think, you can probably all think of some places that you go to keep your cup filled up. Maybe it's a Mother's Day Out program once or twice a week that helps you to keep your sanity. Whatever it is. But we do have places that we turn to keep our cups full. And the places that I've mentioned, there's not anything wrong with any of those places, is there? No. Even, you know, M&Ms, I think are a healthy thing. My personal favorite food group. But so it's not necessarily that the places are bad, but that if you notice, each of those places are just a temporary quick fix. And none of them can keep our cups filled, can they? Because none of these people or none of these places can consistently meet all of our needs. They can't consistently keep our cups filled. So the question that we all come to this tea party of life wanting to know is, who fills up mommy's cup? Who's going to fill up my cup? Who's going to meet my needs? And that's something that we do all consider. And quite frankly, we probably consider several times throughout motherhood. So we are looking for a place to have our needs met and for someone who can fill up our cups. And I truly believe that there is only one person and only one place that can keep our cups consistently full, and that's the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, the Bible tells us that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And for the use of our visual illustration here, the Holy Spirit is going to be our teapot. And one of the things I like best about being a hot tea drinker is that if you go out to a restaurant or a hotel or whatever and you're having tea, the teapot is always considered bottomless. And that means they will fill up your cup as much as you need it filled. There's never a bottom to the teapot. And so that's kind of how I think of the Holy Spirit. He's like the bottomless teapot who can always give me what it is that I need and more. He always has plenty in his pot here. And it is the Holy Spirit who I believe is the only one that can completely fill up and meet all of our needs. And that word filled in Ephesians 5:18 that said we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that word filled means a continual filling. And it literally means to cram up or level to the top is what that word means. So when my cup here is running empty, the Holy Spirit, if I will keep myself close to the Holy Spirit, He is able to keep my cup filled. He is the only person that is able to consistently keep that cup filled. I'm going to set him down here for a minute. I'd hate to topple him over. In John 14:16, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as our helper. And that word helper means that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our consoler, He's our intercessor, And he is our advocate. And what that means is whenever I need comfort, he's the one who knows how to comfort me. Whenever I really need consoling, he's the one that can console me. If I need intercession, he's the one that knows exactly what I need prayed for. Even if I haven't mentioned it or told him or asked for it, he knows just what I need. If I need an advocate before my Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit alone can be that for me. And that's what that word helper means. He can be all those things for me. Well, how do we keep filled up with this Holy Spirit? We know that the Bible teaches us as Christians that whenever we become a Christian, that at that moment the Holy Spirit fills our lives, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. So obviously the first key there is that we have to know for certain that we're truly believers. And the Bible, you know, is very clear about what it takes to be a believer. It says that we've got to trust by faith that Jesus is exactly who he said he was, that he was God's son, that he was born in the flesh of a virgin birth, and that he came on this earth to die on the cross, to forgive us of our sins, to pay the penalty for our sins. And the Bible teaches that if we accept Jesus for who he says he is, and if we allow him to be the Lord and the boss of our lives, that we will be saved, that we will have salvation with him. So it's not that we get more of the Holy Spirit, but how it boils down to here is that if we stay in close contact with the Spirit, we are putting ourselves under his influence, and it is easier for him to influence our behavior, our thoughts, and our attitudes. And obviously these things are very important as far as in motherhood. Well, how does he do that on a practical basis? Well, I think it is important that we surround ourselves with reminders of the Holy Spirit, that we decorate our world, if you will, with reminders of him, so that we can keep our focus on him and so that he can prick our hearts whenever we start to get out of line. And there are some very practical things that I've done over the last 11 years to surround myself with reminders of his presence, to decorate my world with reminders of him. And I've brought just a few of them today that I wanted to share with you. The first and most basic way I think that we can stay under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit is by spending time in our Bible, in the Word. And that may be a little frightening to some of you, maybe who aren't aware of what really to do when you open up the Bible. You don't understand what you read. And a Bible I would recommend to each of you, I believe you have a Walmart here in Lake Charles. You can get this Bible at Walmart for $9.99. That's how much it costs in Oklahoma anyway. If you have a Christian bookstore here in town, you can also get it there. If they don't have it, I'm sure they'd be very happy to order it for you. This particular one is called The Woman's Devotional Bible, and it's published by Zondervan Publishing. And one of the things that I like about this little Bible is that throughout the Bible, it has little half-page devotions in here. So if you're not sure what to read when you open the Bible, or if you have trouble applying it to your own life, these little devotions in here will take a portion of scripture that they'll have you read, then you'll get a few comments from an author, and then at the very end, it'll give you some suggestions on how to apply this Bible truth to your own life. Just a very simple way. And I know that one of the things that is not at your disposal as new moms is having a lot of extra time on your hands. And I know that you are interested and you are going to be looking for little opportunities that you can soak up what's good. So this is one way right here, and this is the Women's Devotional Bible again. And that's one way that I surround myself with reminders of his presence. Another thing I do is I have a couple flip charts at my house. I have one by my sink in the kitchen. I have another by the sink in my bathroom. And these little flip charts right here will have a verse for every day or else an inspirational thought. So every time I go to the sink, either to prepare a meal, wash my hands, brush my teeth, put my makeup on, or whatever, I am reminded of God. I am reminded of the Spirit. And that little reminder while I'm sitting there washing my hands and I read that verse and think about that verse, it helps me to stay focused on things that are positive. It helps me to stay focused on things that are godly. So flip charts are just a very easy, basic way, very inexpensive way. One, I even have made one of my own one time when I was working on some Bible memory verses. I mean, this is like as simple as you can get, just index cards on a spiral. and I can set this up. And therefore, it reminds me of verses maybe that I want to memorize, but the truths that I know I need in my own life. And I'll write a verse on each one of the little cards, and I can flip it, and that helps me to review Bible verses that I'm memorizing as well. So I'm pretty big on flip charts. I think that's a good thing. The kind of music that you listen to, there is a plethora of phenomenal Christian music these days. Just unbelievable, beautiful music. And listening to good, positive Christian music helps you to keep your mind on the Spirit and on the things of God. And when our mind is on the things of God, then it's easier for us to live the way that we're supposed to live and to act the way that we're supposed to act. So good Christian music is another great way that we can surround ourselves with reminders of His presence. I have a... Most of you probably buy groceries in your home. I have a little chart, a little magnetic thing that I keep on my refrigerator right here. And anybody knows, nobody in the house can tell me that they need, you know, I need Cheerios with, you know, Frito, you know, flavor on them or whatever. They know they can't tell me that mom's mind is full, mom's brain is full, and she cannot take any more information. You have to go write it down on my list. Well, at my list, the top of my list right here is a Bible verse. And it's actually a verse we're going to be talking about in a little bit, a verse about the fruits of the Spirit. And this stays on my refrigerator all the time. And that's just another reminder. You might have scripture plaques sprinkled throughout your house. That's another way that you can surround yourself with reminders of His Spirit. Lots of ways. Good books, reading good books that remind you of Him. Devotion books. I have a couple books here. This book right here, Why Fret That God Stuff, it's a devotional book, and my very first published pieces are in this book, so it's very near and dear to my heart. I brought a couple copies if anybody would like to look at them or purchase them afterwards. This book right here is a very sweet book. It's filled with really sweet stories right here, stories for a woman's heart, very appropriate for women and mommies. And the story that I have written in here is about my little boy when he's about two, and it's about watching him up on his footstool in his big boy underwear brushing his teeth and just sitting there and thinking that one day that little boy was going to be bigger than I was and he would probably be able to pick me up. And I just stood in the hallway for a little bit and just watched him because I wanted to remember that. I wanted that memory to freeze in my mind and in my heart. And this book has lots of short stories just like that are very positive. Quick reads. I found that when I was a mother of young children, that it was not very reasonable at all for me to expect to be able to get through Les Miserables by Victor Hugo. That just wasn't going to happen at that point in my ball game. But I did still have some semblance of a mind, and I did still want to use it, and I wanted to read good books. And so sometimes reading shorter books or books of shorter stories, those might be some ways that you can get godly things into your mind but not be so overwhelmed, because you don't have hours at a time to devote to reading. I know that. So these are just some simple ways that I have tried to surround myself with reminders of Him, that I've tried to decorate my world with Him. I'm sure that another phrase you all are quite familiar with is garbage in and garbage out. And I think the converse is true when we think about the Holy Spirit. If I'm putting things of the Spirit into my mind and into my heart, then I am more able to live them out. And I'm more able to live them out to all the other people in my house that I'm having to take care of. And I think that there's a lot of truth in that. Well, what are these positive fruits that we want to bear out as mothers and as fathers? What are they? Well, Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are some of the fruits of the Spirit. And I'd like to go through those again slowly. And I'd like us to think of them not just as a strand of pretty words that are similar to a strand of pearls, but I'd like us to think of each of them individually as individual fruits that God would like us to be able to pour into the lives of the people in this tea party in our own homes. The first is love. And I love what that word means there. In Galatians 5:22, that word love comes from a Greek word agape, which means literally it's like a love feast. And how that applies to me as a mother, I think, that if I am keeping myself in close contact again with the Holy Spirit, then I am going to be so full of love and so able to pour love out to all the other people in my world that being around me is going to be like a love feast. It is going to be like a feast that they can't get enough of. And I just love that word picture, just thinking of my life being like a love feast for all the others in it. So I do love that. And you can see how having that fruit of love would really help you in your parenting. Well, the second fruit of the Spirit that we're going to look at is joy. And that word joy comes from the Greek word that means cheerfulness or a calm delight, a constant delight in a work in the Lord. Well, how might that help us as mothers? Well, what that means is that my joy, my day is not going to be ruined and my joy is not going to be stolen from me just because that toddler has spilt their milk for the third time today. I'm going to be able to have a joy that goes far beyond all the piddly circumstances in my life. And having that fruit of the Spirit of joy is going to help us to, I think, really enjoy our children more, to express joy to them. And it's going to be just more attractive atmosphere in our whole home. There will be that constant calm delight. What a beautiful thing. Something I know I want to give to my children. Love, joy, peace. And I love the idea of that. Peace, an inward repose in our relationships with other people. Something that we could all use a little more of, isn't it, is peace. As a parent, it's really easy to worry and fret and be anxious about every little thing, whether it's leaving your child in a nursery for the first time, whether it's, you know, sending them off to a preschool, and will that teacher really pay close enough attention to my baby, and, you know, will they really know, you know, what they need and how to best take care of them? I mean, there's just a multitude of things that we have to worry about, and we often do choose to worry about, don't we? And staying in close contact with the Holy Spirit, allowing ourselves to be continually filled with Him, does help us to have more of a peaceful attitude. And then we share that with our home. I know my husband tells me that whenever he senses that I'm getting stressed, that I need to realize that everybody else in our home is getting stressed too, because they all pick up on my stress. And I hate knowing that. You know, I just hate being reminded of that because I know it's true. You know, I tend to run and go 90 to nothing. And I'm sure that many of you are like me. But I want to believe that I can lead my own hectic, fast-paced life and it really not have any effect on anybody else in my world. Because after all, it's me who's losing sleep, isn't it? It's me who's working hard. But the truth of the matter is that everybody else in my world suffers when I'm off balance. And you probably have already begun to experience that in your worlds as well, because I'm seeing nodding heads and I'm seeing eyes light up like, oh yeah, she's got my number. And so I do hate knowing that, and it does remind me of the importance of staying in close contact with the Holy Spirit so that I can be more peaceful myself and so I can live that out among the people whose lives I'm influencing. Love, joy, peace, patience. Patience, patience. I assume you all know already not to pray for patience. Pray for patience, you end up with triplets or something like that, just to work on patience. Patience is a refusal to retaliate. And what that means to me as a mom, that means I need the patience of the Holy Spirit for when my child acts hateful to me, so that I do not in turn retaliate by responding hatefully to them. I have got to somehow rise above that. And I don't know what it is about our humanness, but whenever somebody is hateful to me, now I would never, that I know of, I would never just point blank be hateful to anybody. That's just really not my personality. I'm a positive gal. It's not difficult for me to think about positive things. But if somebody is hateful to me, I don't know what it is, but it's like a porcupine whose quills stick out and I just instantly want to respond hateful back. There's just that human nature that makes me want to treat you like you treat me. So if you treat me nice, well, I'm just so happy to be nice to you. But if you're short and snippy and demanding and rude, there's just something about me that makes me want to retaliate in kind. But having the peaceful fruit of the Holy Spirit helps me to respond in patience. It helps me to respond by not retaliating negatively if I've been responded to negative. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Kindness is benevolence in action, a sweetness of temper, especially toward inferiors, which I thought was really interesting reading that definition when I was thinking of it in terms of parenthood. Being kind. We teach our children all the time, don't we? Don't interrupt when mommy's talking. But how often do we interrupt them when they're telling a story that seems to go on forever and ever and ever and ever? I read one time that we are to treat our family like we treat our friends. And when I really stopped and thought about that, I realized that, you know, I'm very nice to my friends. I'm always nice to my friends. And what is it about our families that we just assume they'll love us anyway, no matter if we're unkind or hateful or whatever? And I think that's a great reminder for us as parents to make sure that we bear that fruit of kindness towards our children, that we don't interrupt them, that we do extend common courtesies to them as well. We do want to be kind. Goodness. I'm sure that many of you as new parents or are getting ready to become a new parent, one of the things that you're concerned about is all the really negative influences in the world that your children will be brought up in. And we worry a lot about evil, and we hear a lot about evil. The bookshelves are filled with evil in the cartoons and in the movies and in music and even in literature. I know that I'm continually surprised with evil tones and stuff that I see there. Well, if I'm staying in close contact with the Holy Spirit as a parent, that means that God is going to be able to use me as a positive example in the lives of my children, as an example of goodness. And I saw that just this past Christmas with my daughter, who's 10 years old. We were in a restaurant and we were eating. A police officer came into the restaurant where we were, and he stopped at the table next to us. And he asked the couple next to us, he said, "Did you all have some Christmas packages in your car?" And they said, "Yes, we did." And he said, "Well, I'm afraid to have to tell you that your car's been broken into and the packages have been stolen." Well, the woman immediately let out an expletive curse word. We finished our dinner and we were leaving, and my daughter had the oddest look on her face. And she was kind of holding her stomach, kind of bent over. "Casey, do you feel all right? You know, something you ate, did it bother you?" And she said, "Mom, did you hear what that lady said when the policeman came in?" And I said, "Yes, I did." And she said, "You know, when she said that," she said, "I just got a sick feeling in my stomach." And she said, and this is my 10-year-old daughter, she said, "I felt like that God was slapping me on the hand and he was saying, don't ever talk that way." And I was like speechless. I couldn't even talk. I was so amazed. You know, I heard the same thing. Anybody else around that table heard that woman say the same thing. But because there has been some form of goodness in my child, she was able to instantly recognize that that is not right. That is not acceptable. So much to the point that it physically made her feel sick to her stomach. So we are able to be instruments of goodness in the lives of our children if we do stay in close contact with the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness, faithful in what we profess and what we promise to others. My children both have a t-shirt that says my dad is a promise keeper. And they would not be very proud to wear that t-shirt around if their father was not one who kept his promises, who was not faithful to do what he said and to follow through. And I think there are few things more important in the lives of our children than that they see their parents be faithful to follow through with what it is that we say that we will do. So faithfulness, very important in my life as a parent. Gentleness, humility, and due denial of self is what a Bible dictionary said, which seems like it should also have the synonym mother right next to it, doesn't it? Because so many times we feel like that's what being a mother is all about, is denying what it is that we want to do and we want to be so that we can take care of all the other people in our world, so that we can keep their cups filled. But gentleness is definitely a positive fruit of the Spirit. Being gentle, I think, is a very beautiful thing. And then the last one that we want to look at is self-control. Holding in with a firm hand, and so controlling the enjoyments of my life that I'm not excessive in any of them. And that really stood out to me. Having the fruit of self-control in my life affects what I eat, how much I eat, how healthy I eat, how much money I spend, how much I exercise, if I exercise too much, All of these things, you can see the fruit of self-control helps us live out a very positive example in those little lives that each of us get to influence. Very, very important here. I truly believe that motherhood is the most rewarding and the most fulfilling role that I've ever had. However, I also believe it to be the most draining and the most difficult of all the jobs that I've ever had as well. And I think to be the kind of parents that we desire to be, and definitely to be the kind of parents that God has designed us to be, we are going to have to stay in constant contact with the Holy Spirit. And it's only by staying in constant contact with this Holy Spirit, by surrounding ourselves with reminders of His presence, by decorating our world with reminders of Him, it's only by doing these things that we are able to bear out good fruit and keep our cups filled at the same time. Thank you.